you know, if today, obviously, you know, crime and punishment, that's more like our version of justice. You commit a crime, but this is on a cosmic level again. This is not individuals, you know, committing crimes, violating the social order, and then sort of having some kind of correction or restitution imposed on them. This is like justice in, but like immediately related to the origin of the universe. So it's very different than the way we would talk about justice. If we're going to talk about the origins of the universe and justice, those would be two very different conversations for us today. You'd say Big Bang on one side. On the other side, we would talk about, I don't know, 18th, 19th century law or something.
So Heidegger translates this. He gives a shot. He shoots his shot. I don't know if it's even good or not, but he says something. What fittingly presences itself. This is how he translates justice.
What fittingly?
Yeah, fitting.
Fittingly.
Another kind fitting. Of almost yeah. measurement or almost physical. I mean, this is again English translation of a German translation of a Greek. But anyway, yeah, like fitting, fittingness. Right.
Can I just say, I feel like the listeners might be getting lost. If I were to offer my translation of this, knowing nothing, but maybe it'll take us a step forward despite knowing nothing. It seems like the fitting state is pure being, which is equally non-being, which is a Hegel anachronistic perspective. But everything should be nothing. And then things are unjust when they come into being. So the fact that anything exists is an injustice against the principle of pure being or non-being. And then that is why things die. That is why things have to return to nothing. Why when something grows, it also has to die. Because they have to pay their penalty back to existing. So they're allowed to exist for a while, but this is seen as an injustice. Because the natural state of things is pure being or non-being.
Yeah, I think, well, this is where that term would, the apeiron would come in. Because the pure being is the indeterminate. I think something along those lines. Apeiron, yeah. Indeterminacy.
Apeiron, I think, literally means a is the opposite, and peron means like limits or boundaries. So it's the boundless, it's sometimes translated, or not having edges, having a territory.
Yeah, I think it's the root of our word perimeter, right? Perimeter would be something that philologically relates to apeiron, peron, perio, whatever, any of those kinds of suffixes. But the indeterminacy of being is kind of the origin of being, but it participates in its own creation. It's a member of its own creation, but it still sort of stands out. It still stands as, it marks the origin in a certain way. Like, this is almost like one of those names for being, the apeiron at the beginning. But indeterminacy is strange because when things are individuals are determinate. They have a location in time and space, and they have a number of qualities. And so they're determinate beings, as what, you know, ontic beings are determinate, but being is indeterminate. But they're also together. As we know from Heidegger, the difference between being and beings is the thing that is forgotten when we try to name being. So, you know, getting at this through Anaximander and as evidenced by Derrida's attention to Heidegger's work on Anaximander as well, it's a very important question. For Heidegger, it's about, you know, the saying of Anaximander and translation, thinking with the Greeks as a sort of a, you know, a precursor or a preparatory move for translating it back into modern German. And for Derrida, it's more this question of speech and the voice and the continual presence of metaphysics in the Western tradition as inscribed in language. And again, language, saying, speaking, these things are the concerns of Heidegger too.
This sounds like Deleuze also, which is translated as either flow or flux.
Yeah.
The origin is flux. And then how, if you have flux as a basis, then how is it that there are things? Are things an illusion? Is not, the non-being part not. The necessity? So Heidegger here differentiates, this is Heidegger's big project, of course, ontos from ontix. So ontix is when things are things. And he wants to say that the pre-Socratics, particularly Heraclitus and this quotation, Anaximander, had an understanding of ontos, which is the pre-ontic, like being in itself. And they were sensitive to that, and they respected that. And his big beef with Christianity, which is for him an interpretation of Aristotle. So Aristotle / Christianity ruined this by turning all of ontos, or all of this apeiron, into just categories of beings, as opposed to pure being, or pure flux, or non-being, whatever you want to call it. We don't have really words for this stuff.